Continue. We heard from Renato that they have implemented some AI integration of the Jitsi Meet, and we will go on following this line. And I will speak about the RTC identity part and federations. I will speak about Ori in place identity federation, the Hungarian Edu ID, and combination and integration possibilities, difficulties. So the agenda is the following. I will speak about the education research identity federations in very briefly. And secondly, I'm going to speak about WebRTC identity and security standard, both the IATF and the W3C part. And I have some demonstration. And last but not least, see under the hood how I made this. Why identity authentication is important in RTC? I think there are use cases where it is important to identify the other peers. Of course, we see each other and hear each other, but sometimes we speak with known people and unknown party, and identity could give a plus. Very briefly about the federation, identity federation. Most of you know this. We have a European federation and beyond, the Géant Federation, the EduGain, and also the Research and Education REFET Federation, what is worldwide. This map depicts the participating countries in EduGain, and this is a map about the REFETs Federation. The technology, in very brief, there is three player, the principal, the user, who authenticate on the identity provider, and the identity provider send an assertion to the service provider with some attributes, and the service provider, based on this assertion, give access or make an authorization authentication decision. And how it works, there is a service provider, the user agent send a request to access a resource, and after discovery it redirects to the identity provider, and the identity provider with a request to a single sign-on service, and the identity provider gives out a response after authentication and identify the user agent in some form with a key or whatever, username, password, and so on. And after the response is sent back to the user agent, and the user agent posts this back to the service provider, and after that, if the service provider made a decision, could redirect to the resources what have requested originally. This is another picture about this. You can see more detailed how the redirect is flowing between the assertion consumer and the service provider side, and the identity part and the user agent, and see how the user agent send the post message with the response. I don't want to speak more about SEMO because I think you know this already. I want to speak about the difficulties. Why SEMO integration is not so easy. Normally, the response object, what is received in the from the IDP, is signed, but in some cases it could be encrypted. So it is not because to avoid the attacks in the browser. So we could not read. So fetch the identity assertion from the identity provider directly is a problem. And of course, there is no straightforward way. So the SEMO standards say that only service provider could request from the identity provider an assertion and receive. And this way, but the problem is that we cannot run in a web application code in a browser that acts as XML SP. And we will try to overcome these issues. It is a challenge. And we will see. The main goal, what we want to achieve, is to speak authenticated way even a not fully trusted website. For example, a poker site where we not fully trusted in the website code, but we want to speak in authenticated way to know who is speaking. If I and someone from I don't know, from Australia, we want to poker in a website, and we do not trust in the website maybe very well, but we trust in the identity federation, and if the communication and the communication between us, the two browser and the encryption key could be binded to the identity what we use, it could give a plus. So we trust in a browser. Actually, this is what we must trust in something, and this is the base. And after we try to authenticate every entities, but of course authenticated is not equivalent to trusted. So if we want to speak to Mr. Evil, then it is possible if we identify then the end part. But it could be the base of a decision. So the first thing is we need to authenticate it. Who is the other party? This is the JavaScript session establishment protocol image of what is well known. I put this up to see how WebRTC is connecting the two browsers. So there is a media, a direct media between the browsers, and the session description is exchanged with a not well-defined signaling interface. And we will use the session description protocol to put the identity field. We have a identity API, the W3C, WebRTC, JavaScript API has an identity part. There are two functions, the identity provider, set identity provider, get identity assertion, but also the user the browser has the possibilities to the browser Chrome, so the framework to provide such identity provider information wired in, and there are event handlers, and there is one attribute, the read-on attribute, the peer connection that contains the verified identity of the other party. This is the API, how we request an identity assertion and how we communicate with the identity proxy code. So when we create an offer or create an answer, the assertion is inserted in the SDP. This is the main thing here. And we will see later. The verifying is the same. We will verify this SDP information. I will show you in more details where the identity provider gives an identity, and the encryption key what is used by the communication is binded together cryptographically. And this is the model. So the two party, the two browser request identity from the identity provider, and there is a code that verifies the signed binded together identity and the encryption key. And the media, as it's shown in this picture, is flown encrypted. So the DTLS SRTP is used to encrypt the media, and DTLS for data channel. How it happens in more details, how an offer generated. So the first thing that if there is Alice and Bob, Alice request want to call Bob, then the calling app, get an assertion from Alice identity provider, put the assertion in the offer, the session description protocol, and send to Bob. Bob checks the assertion with Alice IDP, if needed, the IDP, or if Bob can check without an IDP, then checks without it. And the same happens in the bike direction, so Bob get an identity provider assertion and send to, with the binded together, the encryption key to the other party, and the media after it, the check happens, and everybody made a decision that want to accept the call or not. The media flows between the two party encrypted, and the two party is identified by the identity provider, and gives a strong authentication. So,
if I understand correctly, assertion is summary assertion in code.
Not really. I will. So the assertion is a binded assertion. What is the identity provider identity? This is an email-like identity, like the AdvID principal name, form, a domain name, and a user part, and bind it together with the fingerprint of the communication encryption key. In any form, the standard is not defining very well because it want to fit to many authentication mechanisms. But I will show you later. This is the identity base 64 encoded part attribute. What we put inside the session description protocol, you can see this is a normal SDP. With codecs and also many parameters, ICE and so on parameters. And there is a one plus parameter. After we received an identity from the identity provider, it puts base 64 encoded to this. If we decode this, we will see there is two part. This is a IDP part, this is a JSON, and there is an assertion. And later, the assertion could be anything. It depends the application and how the identity proxy, we will see later what is the identity proxy, make this and it is opaque to this standard. So there is two important thing, the domain and the protocol. In my example, this is NIFHU and IDP.html, but this is normally about the protocol what we use. It could be SAML, it could be any authentication protocol we know, OAuth, or there are many kind of. So how it works? There is a browser what is, for example, loading the poker site. This is the calling site example.com, and also a different sandbox, it loads from this information what we saw, the NIF.hu, the domain, and the protocol, a JavaScript code that will sign and verify the identity. And this is the model what the WebRTC security architecture defines. And the identity provider gives out the identity, and the identity proxy code binds cryptographically somehow, or an external entity binds the encryption key to the identity. So this is the URL what is created from the domain name. If the domain name is example.org, and the protocol is protocol, then this is the URL where the identity proxy code located. And the identity proxy code has, as I mentioned, two main function, generate an assertion and verify the assertion. The assertion part of the identity attribute, what we saw in the SDP. And the identity proxy code is very flexible. and could be used with many kind of authentication mechanism. So it can be used browser ID allowed. The beauty of this concept that it uses this JavaScript glue code and could be used with many kind of technologies. And maybe the two entities could use a different identity provider and different technology to prove their identity. But if the Federation and we trust different entities, identity providers, then we can communicate with different technologies. In the RFC, there is browser ID, and for OAL, an example. So this is the browser ID. I will not speak about this because I want to show you how I made with SAML. And this is from OAuth. You can see more details in the WebRTC security model RFC. I want to show the demonstration how about with Firefox implemented only actually the identity part, and it is not really in production state, but I made a demonstrator code to demonstrate to integrate the SAML based EDUID, the Hungarian Federation with WebRTC and Firefox. So we will have a tablet and a PC, and between them I will authenticate myself on this site using the NIAF AI authentication, and after it I will see my local picture, and hopefully okay, someone is before me, so I think Dorian steal my show. Can you please refresh? Okay. And you can see that the identity provider showed there and verified behind the scan, downloaded the identity proxy code and verified the identity, and the peer connection has this read-only part and here you can see that Janos identity and the identity domain name. So this is what I have made to prove that SAML and WebRTC could somehow work together, and now I want to show you how it works in more detailed way. We can see that this is the web application, and behind that there is a sandbox where the identity proxy code runs, and it verifies and signs the identity. Okay, so back to the presentation. Under the hood, WebRTC is a moving thing. So it is not this identity part is not really ready, and there is not enough interest from the developers. And in Chrome there is no implementation. Firefox and in Firefox team. Who writing this WebRTC security model and draft? They working on this only, We don't know what will happen with this part. If you want to enable this identity part of the WebRTC, then you will find the configuration what you have to change in Firefox, and I wrote there some options for more detailed debugging the sandbox application of the identity proxy code. And the concept what I used was that I created a JSON web token bundle and glued together the identity what I received from the identity provider and the encryption key fingerprint. We use asymmetric cryptography, so with a public-private key key pair. And the private key is not stored in identity proxy code because I think it is more safe to not store there. So the proxy the identity proxy request assigning from a server. There is a very simple PHP code that signs this JSON web token. And after we verify, we could verify with the Federation metadata where we can find the public key if we use to sign the signature with the SP private key. So there could be a connection between the SEML SP and the signed JSON web token in this way. And the signing could be integrated fully in SP if it is a simple SEML PHP implementation or could be an application on top of Shibboleth. Actually, we use the second in this demonstration. I have wrote a small application on top of Shibboleth SP, and so the terminology what I used here, according to the security model, there is an identity provider, and we have a small application top of the SP. We have the identity proxy code. It is in our case because I used Firefox 37 version. It is a HTML and JavaScript glue code that runs in the sandbox that signs and verifies the identity. And the PHP code creates this encryption key fingerprint, and this is the identity. What the identity provider. This is my education principal name, Michi at nif.hu, and the identity proxy location URL where we load the identity proxy code is the following nif.hu.wellknownidpproxy and default or I think the idp.html what we see. It points the same code. The trust chain between the federated authentication and WebRTC, as I mentioned, the SEML identity provider give out a SEML assertion to the SP, and this is the answer to Jan. So they are authenticating each other with a standard SEML mechanism, and the SP is assigning the JSON web token service and gives out the educational principal name attribute, and after this, of course we sign with the SEML SP. It's important private key. So so when we verify this JSON web token, then we can get the public key from the federation metadata of the SP and what is, in my view, a trusted place storing this public key, and we can extract the SP public key and verify the JSON web token. And this is how it works and related the two new technology. And back to the first part, I showed you the identity attribute, and inside the base 64 decoded assertion part and the identity part. And inside this assertion, this is the JSON web token. You can see the fingerprint of the communication key, what is a digest, so the encryption key, the communication, the data and real-time audio-video communication key, what we will use between the two party, and here is the identity part, what is generated from the educational principal name, originated from educational principal name. And how it works, so we load the web application, and also in the background we load the identity proxy code in a sandbox, and the browser framework, the Chrome of the browser, creates a hash from the communication key and generates a new key, what will be used in the communication. And we have the SAML IDP. SAML IDP gives out to the SAML SP an assertion, and the application on top of the SAML SP signs and binds together cryptographically the encryption key what will be used in the communication, and gives back not SAML assertion but a different assertion where the identity and the communication key bind it together. How it works more detailed way, so we load the proxy code in a browser, in the sandbox, this is the URL, naf.hu, well-known IDP proxy, IDP HTML. The proxy receives a sign request and creates a new XML HTTP request to the signer service, and after it, it sends the communication fingerprint, the encryption key fingerprint. And the discovery service redirects to NNIAF IDP, single sign-on service. Here is the gvs.php, what is the JSON token signer service, what only has one input, the fingerprint of the communication, and gives out the assertion where the identity and the encryption key are binded together in a JSON web token. And we need to authenticate to reach the JSON web token signer service. So we make a normal SAML-based authentication. We need a cross-origin policy to give access to the SP to access the SAML request parameters what is sent, and this is the request what the single sign-on service receives, and this is the response. This is a form what automatically submitted to the ID to the SP, and we will create a new XML HTTP request to the SP submitting this response, and after the SP received that response, give access to the signer service, and we have the SAML response as a parameter we are sending to the SP, and after the service authenticated, the JSON web token signer will redirect to the JSON web token signer service, and we will have the final GVS JavaScript JSON web token. And this web token contains the binded identity and an encryption key. The verification from the SDP from the IDP part, there is a domain and the protocol. So the browser from that creates the URL, the well-known .IDP proxy, and the service, and it downloads this code to the trusted sandbox. I forgot to mention that the web application is red because we are not fully trusting in the web application, and we trust in the identity proxy and the identity provider only. And of course our browser, and the identity provider gives a feedback. The identity provider proxy code downloaded in the sandbox. The sandbox verifies the assertion, and sets the browser set based on that create a decision that it is valid or not valid, and sets in the web application in the peer connection the read-only attribute about the identity of the remote party, and of course everything happens in the reverse way. So I think what are the limitations here? So it could work only not every environment. We need limitation. For example, we cannot use consent verification on the SP side of the identity proxy code, because everything happens in a sandbox that has no browser window, so the sandbox cannot communicate with the user. It is really isolated from the web application, and of course we must deploy the identity proxy code to every domain the domain part of the user identities. So my summary and takeaways. We have a trusted identity service, what we want to use for WebRTC identification, because it is there, and the WebRTC also has an identity mechanism, but not easy to integrate the two things. And WebRTC identity is still a moving thing. The model is changing, the draft is changing some ways. And the implementation, we have only one implementation. We need to reach the critical mass to implement in every browser this part also. And we need some extensions. For example, it will be great if we could have more than one attribute, so more than the identity, we could have more attributes what we can use for group membership and so on, checking. So actually the WebRTC security and identity model is focusing only to the identity and not on more detailed sophisticated authentication. but only authorization. And it is a little bit complicated, but not completely impossible. And we need to work together with the standard community to make a solution what could fit to our needs and our identity federation also. I want to say thank you to NIF AI team. They helped me a lot, and to Yufi, Krzysztof, and Chicha. And that's all from my part. And now, if there is no question, Eric, okay? No?
So it sounds like a kind of a technology-driven stuff, right? So you did that because you just wanted to try out whether the technology allows you to do this, right? Do you have any specific use case or some application in the medical space or somewhere where you want to actually verify the identity?
Two researchers want to speak together and want to know who will speak. I want to speak with a Brazilian university professor we never meet before, but I want to know that I speak with them. Or if you want to speak with a service provider, a bank, or whatever, you want to know who is speaking.
Yeah, it's that those kind of applications that I'm asking for. But you don't have such a demand from the current demand from your users to
actually not. Yes.
And would this, as far as I understand, this is for peer-to-peer, so one-to-one communication. Would this work in case of a kind of a meeting type of room-based meeting? Where you want to identify each and every participant?
The identity provider could identify the meeting room.
All right.
And everything is point-to-point, or could be simplified to point-to-point.
All right, yeah. Okay, thanks.
Okay, so Eric will be the next speaker.
Fine.